I picked kind of a small scripture today, but when I read it to you, hopefully you will see why. It's such a powerful scripture. The scripture reading today is from Acts 19, verses 11 through 12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out of them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome again. We have been looking so far at Paul's second journey, and we've kind of talked about maybe the bumps in the road. Similar to having a flat tire on a road trip, we've kind of looked at how Paul has had a rough start to his journey, and then he even ended up in jail. And so today, I wanted to focus on some of the great moments. Like every road trip has its fond memories, Paul did some amazing things throughout his first and now second journey. If we look at Paul's life, he starts as Saul, who was persecuting Christians, and then he was blinded by the glory of God, and from there he goes and does many amazing things through God and for the glory of God. In chapter 9, his life is changed on the road to Damascus. In chapter 13, he blinds a sorcerer who then comes to repent and turn away from the devil. In chapter 14, he heals a crippled man. In chapter 16, he healed the slave girl of her demon possession. And also in chapter 16, there was that big earthquake that set him and Silas free from prison. Then we find ourselves in chapter 19 today, and it said, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs that touched him were taken to the sick and they were healed. My grandpa was at the 5 p.m. service last night and he uses handkerchiefs. I don't know if any of you gentlemen or I guess ladies could use them too. I'm not fond of them, but my grandpa used to always make me go at him, get him a new one whenever he got home from work, so that's why I'm not fond of them. But I was going to mess with him last night and ask to borrow his, but I figured maybe it had been used, so I didn't. But just imagine the power of God flowing through Paul in a way that it flowed onto simple pieces of cloth so that those who were sick would just touch it and they would be freed from their demons or healed. But Paul doesn't stop there, even though he encounters a few more road bumps. In chapter 20, he raises a man from the dead. In chapter 28, he is not affected by a poisonous viper that bites him. And in chapter 8, he heals a man on the island of Malta, but then he goes on to heal the entire island, everyone that had an illness. These are just a handful of the miracles that Paul did on his journey, and you can see that Acts doesn't give us the exact names of every person he touched or the illnesses that he healed them from, but we can see that many great things were done through him. I'm sure it was easy for the people surrounding him to look at him and to think, who is this guy? Is he like super special? Maybe is he a god? But he was able to say to them, no, I am working through the living God. But today it can be easy for us to read these stories and to see them as a thing of the past. There's no way any one of us could ever repeat things similar to what Paul has done. But I think we ignore that Paul did not do these things alone. This was not his power that created all of these miraculous things to happen. God was with Paul and was the one working through him. God gave Paul the ability to survive that snake bite, heal the sick, and even raise a man from the dead. And Paul wasn't going around doing this just for the fun of it either. He was doing what God had called him to do. So all this work was to show God's glory and to bring his presence here on earth to us. And so it can be easy to look at these stories and see them as a bit imaginative. After all, these kind of things, they don't happen today, or do they? And I want to preface, I'm going to ask some questions that I don't have the answer to, but I think it's something that God has put on my heart that he also wants to put on some of your hearts so that you will spend time figuring out your answer for yourself. You will hear me refer back to my classes a lot. I learned so much from them, and so they just end up in sermons somehow. But I want to talk today about a guest speaker that I had in my evangelism class. This class was taught by a pastor who brought in his friends, his pastor friends, his missionary friends, and they all showed us and talked to us different avenues and different ways that we could be spreading the good news. This one, he said we would be seeing a missionary come in and talk to us. And when we got to class, there was a woman in there that we didn't recognize, but she couldn't have been our guest speaker. I judged her right off the bat. She didn't look anything like any missionary I've ever seen, or what I guess I expected her to look like. This woman had beautifully done blonde hair, perfect makeup, her outfit was white, and she had on a lot of jewelry, and she just looked super clean. And I guess my first thought of a missionary is that they look like they can be ready to be dropped in the middle of a remote village at any time. And so I just judged her because she didn't fit the bill for me. And I'm telling you about this judgment of mine for a reason. I'm admitting my guilt. I took everything she said with a grain of salt because I couldn't get over how she looked and I couldn't figure out what she did on the mission field. But as soon as she started talking, my guilt overwhelmed me. The passion coming out of her was so obviously God-given. And I tell you about my judgment because I need you to know that even still, I judged her while she spoke. I came away from that with it still stuck in my mind, wanting to know more. She gave us an example of God's power at work today. She spoke of these places that she had been to, but specifically a village on the island of Fiji. It's called Tavua. I probably said it wrong. This village had seen a revival of mass proportions. Missionaries were sent in, and the response was overwhelming. This whole village came to know Christ. One member of the family would come to know Christ, and then the whole family would follow, which sounds pretty similar to the story we had a couple weeks ago with the jailer when he saw the power of God in the earthquake, but the compassion of God through Paul staying. He and then his entire family came to be baptized that night. This was happening all throughout this village, and the entire village was Christian. This was not the only thing to change in the village, though, and it wasn't this missionary's main point. She worked with a group called Fusion Ministries, and they don't just believe in a revival of people, but they believe in the full coming of the kingdom of God here on earth, which means they believed in a revival of the land. She had gone to visit the island after they had already been in place, and she'd been hearing the miracles that were happening. And she said, as she drove in, you could see where the edge of the village was because the atmosphere changed. This is what got my attention the most. I couldn't help but imagine, what if our atmosphere literally showed God's presence? Because this is what she was describing to us, was it was almost a tangible presence of God in this village. What would it be like to drive into Blue Springs and see the mist of God rolling down Woods Chapel Road? This was not the only thing, though. The river that ran through the village was undrinkable in the area where it was. They had to walk many miles to get to the drinkable water. But as the revival of the people and the land happened, God took care of this. Their water source next to them was purified. It was a miracle. And if you're like me, you're immediately jumping to, well, hold on, how? How is this possible? What happened? What's the logistics here? But she continued with her story. The crops that they were growing were larger and more amazing than anything they'd ever seen before. Definitely larger and more amazing than anything we would find at Hy-Vee. She called it God's idea of a carrot. My arm's not big enough, but I was just going to use my arm. But from here to my fingertips, plus this big around, all around, this is how big the carrot was that she was talking about. It's a little mind-blowing, and she went on to say that it can be difficult for us to grasp that automatically because that's not our idea of reality, so she found a way to bring one of the carrots home with her. And she went on this tour afterwards to tell people about the revival that was happening in this village, and she brought it with her, a physical proof that people could not deny once it was in front of them. Carrots have expiration dates, so of course eventually it expired. But she has pictures of them, and I thought about showing it to you, but then I thought it took away from my main point. Do we need to see proof to believe these kinds of stories of God's power? We have this expectation of what the world looks like, but this village is a perfect example of what the world could look like through the power of God. And again, I'm sure you're having the same doubts, the same confusion that I was having. And for this class, we had to write a response to every guest speaker we had. And I struggled with this one so much. I just didn't know what to say about her because I was still kind of judging her. But I liked everything she said, and I was starting to write. And I finally just admitted in my response, I am judging this woman. She doesn't look like what I thought a missionary would look like. I'm not sure about what she said. And as I'm writing it, God just smacked me down, and I could hear him saying, why are you doubting me? Because if I'm doubting this woman's story, ultimately I am showing that I doubt what God's power can actually be. It's understandable. We are human. We are used to this reality around us, and it doesn't look like the reality that Paul lived in or that this woman is describing in this village. And some of us are lucky enough to experience a miracle, but I guarantee most of us haven't. In the New Testament, they had Jesus with them. He lived with them. He walked with them. He taught them. He ate with them. He died and came to life in front of them. In the Old Testament, God literally spoke to people like Moses and Adam. His power would be so much easier to believe if we could see it on a daily basis like that. For the missionary, she had her missionary friends who it could testify and she could trust and believe. But our reality is quieter. Our faith is built on a stronger need of belief in what we cannot see. Therefore, I think we have put our faith in a box, which means ultimately we have put what we think God can do in that box. We don't see amazing miracles on a daily basis, and so what we think is possible shrinks on a daily basis. Like the disbelief in an arm-sized carrot or the tangible presence of God in that village, we tend to doubt what we think God can do. So going back to our story about Paul, God did all these amazing things through him, and God's glory was being shown, and I said, why don't we see this kind of thing today? So why don't we? Was Paul just a super special man who God worked through and we could never be anything like? Maybe he was a special man chosen by God to do that. But he was also the least likely for God to choose. He was literally killing the work of God on earth by persecuting Christians. And if God can use Paul, then why not us? Do we need to be blinded on our way to work and to see the living Jesus to believe what his power can actually be? Do we need to go to that village in Fiji? I do want to go to Fiji, but do we need to go to that village to believe that a carrot could be so large? Why is our doubt so much greater than our faith? And what can we do to make our faith greater than that doubt? Paul allowed God to work through him in a way that made handkerchiefs he touched be able to heal people. But this was all through the power of God. Jeremy Camp has a song, Same Power. We were just singing it at the end of last service. It says, the same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us because God lives in us. In chapter 20 of Acts, Paul did just that. He brought a man back to life through the power of God. The power of God worked through him because God lived in him. And I don't know that I can emphasize my excitement about this or really get you to hear the amazingness of what I am saying today. If God lives in us, he can work through us. So why don't the miracles of Paul's day happen today? Why is our faith that small? What can we do to increase that faith and truly believe that God can work through us in amazing ways, and his power can bring his kingdom literally here? How do we take God out of that box? Again, I don't have all the answers, and I think God calls us to deepen our faith in different ways, and he calls us to impact this world in different ways. But I encourage you to think about it for yourself. Maybe we're not called to experience the same kind of miracles that Paul did in his day. Maybe our handkerchiefs will never be so powerful that they will heal people. But what does this world really need that we can bring? I would say that it needs God's love. And I think this is a miracle that we can provide on a daily basis. If your doubt blocks you from believing that truly anything is possible, I hope that we can at least grasp that this would be possible. Imagine if God's love flowed through us in such a way that every time we interacted with someone, they felt his presence. Imagine what this world would be like if we all showed that kind of love. Don't you think that eventually, as we drove into Blue Springs, God's presence might be tangible around us? All of this may seem a little far away still, and so the evangelism class missionary went on to tell a story that was a little closer to home. There was a pastor who knew of a small town in Texas that was ravaged by poverty and drug abuse, and he had a calling, and he wasn't sure what it said, but he said, I'm going to go there, and I'm just going to see what God can do through me. And so he did. He moved his entire family there, right in the middle of the village, and all he did was say, come have a meal with me and maybe stay for worship afterwards. The entire town was like the village in Fiji. It completely changed. The people that were abusing the drugs became clean and then became the vessels to share the good news to everyone else. The whole village, the whole town, because this is here, the whole town became Christian. So put your disbelief down for just a moment and believe that God's power lives in you. And be willing to let God work through you. He calls us all to share his love, and he calls us to deepen our faith in him. But how can we do that? How can we be such loyal servants like Paul? Maybe we need to get to know a different spiritual discipline. Maybe we need to join a new or different Bible study and look at the world a little differently. Maybe we need to serve God in new, different environments so that he can open our eyes to what he's calling us to affect. Or maybe we just need to stop. To pause. Our lives have become so busy, and I am right there with you as the pastor standing on stage right now. Our lives have become so non-stop. Where do we leave room for God? Is it this obligatory hour that we spend together every Sunday? Is it the prayer that we shoot up whenever a friend is in pain or hurting? If that's all that we consider our faith to be, is it any wonder that miracles like that aren't happening today? Paul devoted his entire life to doing God's work. The Fiji missionary teams devoted months of their life there in that village. And the pastor in Texas moved his whole family just to see what God could do through him. They moved everything out of the way and just let God out of the box. And I'm not saying that that's what we all need to do. Don't go moving tomorrow, because that's not what we're all called to. Imagine what God could accomplish through us if we just gave him the space to do so. Imagine what this world would look like if our faith was so great that God's power flowed through us in a way that made handkerchiefs heal people. Every ending I wrote to this sermon felt far stretched. I still have the same doubts that maybe some of you have, and it felt like I was either asking too much or not the right things. I didn't want my words to be construed or taken wrong, and I certainly didn't want to upset people. That's not my intent, because after today, God will bug you and nag you and bother you if there's something that he's calling you to do. As I was writing this, God did not reveal all the answers, but I cannot express to you again how exciting this is. The power of God is within us, and we can literally change the world around us with that. We know that we don't give God the time that he deserves. We know that maybe we have put God in a box of what we think he can do. But we also know that we wish our faith was greater. We wish we could see miracles on a daily basis. And we know that this world needs God's love. And so today I pray that you hear that God is calling you to let him work through you. Give him your time and seek to have a deeper relationship. Go to the Word and see who is your God and what is it that he wants of you. But believe that all things truly are possible through God. And if he lives in us, then we can do anything he calls us to. Like the power coming out of Paul, we can be healers of this world. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts so that we may be willing to let you work through us. You call each of us in different ways and to different services, but we can all be your love in this world. I pray that you nag on us this week as we seek to discover the different ways to deepen our faith. And I pray, Lord, that we let you work through us. In your name, amen.